first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day.
Welcome to the football podcast. This is show number 58.
Oh,
we're getting a moose on. We're in the Moose Bar. Jim Staples is here.
I am.
Dan Silver's here.
Good evening.
Sean Miller's here.
All right.
Michael Coxon's here.
Hello. Fanfare.
Jimmy fanfare. And Simon Pinney's here.
You know, a load of people have just now just switched off their computer on that Coxon guy.
Just when we were getting our listeners back.
Well, you know.
We put him on. It's been ages since you two have been on the show.
It has.
Yep.
What's been your favourite show that you've listened to since you left?
My favourite was the show that's going out on the... not that one. That was a great one. straight after Man City QPR, what a great game. It's the only Man City game I can remember that. My favourite was the one that didn't go out, but it's going out on the DVD extras. Listen out for it when the DVD comes out around Christmas, $14.99.
Yeah. There's no chance that'll go out. Soil commits suicide at that one.
Right. Big weekend of football. What was your performance of the weekend, Simon Pinney?
Why have you come to me first? Why have you done that?
Because I can. Go on.
Plymouth lost the game.
Yeah, well, Plymouth always lose. Well, performance of the weekend. Everton, just because we finally won a game. We're out of that horrible run of playing the big teams. We're still crap, but we're now mid-table.
The guy with the big hair signed a new contract.
That's the best news we've had. All year.
Everton fans have been going mental about that, haven't they?
Yeah.
Well, also, the other good news is there's not really much else to cheer about from downtown.
There's nothing else to cheer about at all. Although Ken Wright has allegedly promised Moyes there will be money in January. Yeah. About as much for a bag of crisps. That's it. So that's my performance of the weekend. Everton won.
All right, Jim.
I'll go for Liverpool. Getting a win at Chelsea is not bad, especially winning their last season. I thought that's not going to happen again.
Glenn Johnson. Dalglish has never lost against Chelsea as Liverpool manager.
Really?
Yeah.
That's quite an impressive stat.
Never lost.
You've ruled that one at early doors.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Thank you and good night. I'm off.
Glenn Johnson from right back as well. I like the fact Dalglish just said, he scored, it's fine. You can be there with 2 minutes left because they'd have taken a point before that, wouldn't they?
Definitely.
I was going to go for Glenn Johnson, to be fair, especially after I slagged him off my blog.
So did I.
I think everyone did.
Yeah.
I've put him in mine. It's not gone live yet, but yeah.
No.
That's another discussion.
It's a bit reactive, isn't it?
Can I also just mention that we were talking about the potential games of the weekend last week, and I picked up on Cambridge Luton, finished 1-1. The crowd there was 4,796. It's not bad. It's a lot more than
Blue Square
most
Prem
games.
Yeah,
Blue Square Prem. So
that's
finished
more
1-1.
Than some Gillingham games.
Definitely. More than a lot of League Two games would have been.
Dan.
It's going to have to be Chelsea Liverpool. It's the only game I watched.
So you're picking from a list of one there then?
Blackburn. Wigan. Birmingham Wigan was a great game, 3-0, wasn't it? I suppose not a result of the weekend, but I suppose we're going to go on to the Phantom Corner. Although, should we start doing it? I might as well bring it up now. I think that's probably the best corner taken I've ever seen.
Just slow yourself down.
I'm excited. I've been doing today is
it's the football podcast,
really,
not the Dan podcast. Let someone else have a word now. Dude, because you're the only one
who's done it. Schism. 5 minutes in, schism.
Yeah.
Sean.
Performance of the weekend was actually Hugo Rodriguez. Not for anything football wise, but I met him on Saturday night. He was dancing away to a bit of salsa. Lovely bloke.
Did bugger all for Wigan.
Yeah, well.
He was absolutely. I mean, did he. He's been so bad for them. They
this season,
him,
I know.
He's not done anything, has he?
Terrible. He's been out dancing.
Exactly, yeah.
He'll be on Strictly next year. Yeah.
With your mate Robbie.
My performance of the weekend was north of the border for Airdrie United. Because, I mean, Scottish football is pretty poor, but they were playing in the Scottish Cup against some Scottish non-league team, and they won 11-0.
which
the main reason I like that is it was that fella who reads out the scores last day, wasn't it?
He
got a good score to read out, along with Shrewsbury winning 7-2 at Northampton.
Since
we mentioned Northampton a couple of shows ago,
they've gone worse.
Their manager's got sacked, and they're getting done in by Shrewsbury at home.
Yeah.
Bad times.
Yeah. Si, who's your performance of the week?
I've already done mine.
I'm just checking you're awake.
I'm awake.
It's good. All right, okay.
Paul Robinson for winning the penalty. And getting booed in the face.
If you're talking about penalties, did anyone see the Southampton Brighton highlights?
No, and I really wanted you to explain this.
Okay, Southampton got given a penalty and it was about 3 or 4 yards outside the box.
Oh, did he land in the box?
No, this is it. Contact was outside the box and he landed outside the box. I'll try and find it on YouTube so I can
find it.
It's absolutely astonishing.
Is it a worse decision than the penalty that Andre Mariner didn't give in the Wigan Blackburn game when Victor Moses
got tripped
no further than a yard and a half away from him, in front of him, didn't give it, and then he obviously went and gave that corner. Dan, tell us about that corner.
Well, he should have talked about that in the last session.
Sorry, my old man was ringing me.
Does he not know you're doing a show?
No, but I didn't pick up, did I? Yes,
corner.
Morgan's Patterson corner, which I was going to talk about earlier and got shot down. Yes. Has everyone seen this?
I haven't. No,
I haven't.
Heard about it.
Yeah.
Describe it.
Who was it? Was it Hoylett that put the ball down originally on the spot and then just walked away, like not didn't touch with his foot, nowhere near it. Not the old, you know, the sneaky little touch it and then we'll go for it. Put the ball down, walked away. Pedersen has a little look up and just dribbles, just goes, just runs to the edge of the box, crosses it in, they score.
Fair play.
So how is it legitimate?
It's not.
In no way whatsoever.
Okay.
It was a complete farce.
I remember United trying something similar against Chelsea and getting brought back, even though Giggs did touch it. And then they scored for the return.
There's been an awful lot of rubbish said on TV about it, saying if he had touched it, if the keeper had touched it, then it would have been right. No, it wouldn't. The ball has got to travel
outside the.
It's got to travel its circumference.
That is actually not the case anymore.
Ooh.
They've changed the rules.
He's taken on head. Yeah. He's taken on Simon Head for knowledge.
When I did the rest course when I was 15, the ball had to travel its circumference.
14 wasn't born when you were
57.
The referees also had to wear a.
Mind you, all the ball, you know, they had laces in them and stuff back then as well.
I'm loving this.
FIFA decided that it was too difficult for a referee to judge whether or not a ball had travelled its
out of the quadrant.
Apparently not.
Absolutely no difference because he didn't touch it.
No.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're kind of arguing a complete.
The ref has done them twice because he's given Blackburn a goal he shouldn't have given and he should have given Wigan.
I don't know if I can trust anything you say now. I've got to be honest, you've been exposed as a fraudster.
Si, what was it like when they introduced crossbars?
Well, you know, I personally preferred the rope.
Yeah.
You know, I enjoyed the rope. It was good. It was safer. You know,
everyone had a lot more fun.
Like you could hang yourself.
As a Spurs fan, you probably have that feeling on a regular basis.
Why do you keep saying this? We're doing really well.
Really?
We win our two games in hand. We're 1 point behind United.
And how many behind City?
If my auntie had ball, she'd be my auntie, wouldn't she? So.
A film star, probably, Si. Did you also notice, did anyone see, the blog that I put up, the Sky commentators got completely dubbed by the Chelsea.
Yeah, that was brilliant.
That was quality.
Neville, have you seen this yet, Si?
Yes, I have. Martin Tyler.
I can tell exactly why they fought it, but
they
half the crowd
went behind them. But you know, sometimes
when the crowd celebrate and then they go, oh, the Chelsea fans didn't do that, they celebrated for like 30 seconds. They were like, you could just tell them, like, why are they not taking a normal centre? I don't know, we're on new up.
But there was like a clear line in the crowd, sort of from those who thought it was a goal and those that knew that it wasn't. It was just like people standing there like, no. Next to them there were people going,
aah! Yeah.
My housemate's Chelsea fan, he was celebrating. Yeah. I was sat there going, what are you doing?
it's always good when it's on the
place. Like, sit down.
Can I just say that my
Mike. Yeah, go on, Dan, come on.
Thanks, mate. I was at my favourite quote of the week.
Go on.
Favourite quote of the week has to come from the man who I'd slated for being a new commentator, Gary Neville.
Oh.
However, I absolutely wet myself. Not literally, Stapes. I wet myself when he said this. When he's talking about David Luiz after going on a bit of a mazy run, as he likes to do.
He said,
sometimes I think he's being controlled by a 10-year-old in the crowd with a PlayStation controller.
I thought that was brilliant.
And AVB has come out and absolutely had a massive go. He's his attitude. He shouldn't go saying that on live television. I thought it was comic genius.
That's not off the top of his head, though. He's thought about that for weeks. Right? How can I appeal to the Dan Silvers of the world?
Everyone's scoffed when Gary Neville.
What's going on tonight?
Nothing. Everyone scoffed when Gary Neville became a commentator, but
My love of him aside, he's done a good job.
I didn't scoff. I
sense the.
I think Jamie Carragher should join him next season.
I think
that'd be a great pairing in the studio.
But that would be a bit like when they had the fan cast.
But they had Roy Keane and Patrick Vieira on the Champions League of the week. That was great.
The icy atmosphere.
Roy Keane is another brilliant pundit. Crap football manager, but brilliant pundit.
Talking of the Blackburn game, just taking you back to the Blackburn game.
We weren't talking about the Blackburn game.
We were talking about the corner, right?
No, I was talking about the Chelsea game.
We turned the corner.
Oh, no.
Thank you.
Yakubu scored twice in that game. He's now scored more goals in the Premier League this season than Luis Suarez.
Did not know that.
Can
we not talk about Yakubu because he did nothing at Everton for the last 2.5 years?
He won't do much else for Blackburn. So he's done his goals this season.
He's still only 24. Nigerian
24. Suarez scored four.
I bet Luis Suarez hates the fact Yakubu scored more than him. Because he obviously wants to be top scorer in the league.
No.
Dirty North.
Suarez, he's not, he's from Uruguay.
Did you see the papers, particularly the Sun, have made a lot out of the fact that Suarez winked at John Terry during the handshake? Have you seen that?
Did he?
Next I'll be zooming in and saying it's a Freemason's handshake. Yeah, part of the secret club.
This is doubtless the point I was making. It was like, oh, come on. And this wasn't a sport, this was like page 6 or 7 in the Sun today. A big photo of the fact that he winked at him. It was like, oh, guys, leave it.
Give it a Sharon White. That's all it is.
Probably. Yeah. He's fine with that, yeah.
The best thing about Terry this weekend was just watching his completely pointless attempt at stopping Johnson's.
He's not having a great time at the moment, is he?
Into the net. No. He didn't go in with any real pace.
He did, right, inches away from it.
He was falling down one way and wafted his toe in.
Yeah.
And it fell. Just the sight of him on his arse in the goal, thinking,
it's always
bollocks, we've lost.
I'd like to add something. Huddersfield have now broken the record.
Yeah. Yes.
I wish they'd fucking stopped playing the record because I've heard enough about it.
It's not the proper record. No. Forest did it in the top 5.
Yeah, they did.
It's still quite impressive.
I'm actually going to next Monday.
Simon?
Yeah, go on, mate.
I'm going to Charlton Huddersfield next Monday for the top of the table clash.
Why?
Because a friend of mine is a Huddersfield fan and I live in Charlton, so chance to meet up and receive some top
Makes
level
sense.
Football.
Jordan Rhodes, easy man. He's scored 14 goals this month.
Fun, isn't he? Yeah.
This month.
It's only the 21st.
I know.
He's
14 goals.
Still behind Wright Phillips in the scorers, though. Bradley Wright Phillips was top scorer in the league.
Those 14 goals weren't for his club. He scored like 4 or 5 for Scotland under 21s against Holland. So he's
fair play.
So he's got 14 goals in all the different competitions, and
I think he scored a couple in the 5-a-side game with his kids as well.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know whether they
Pele style.
He's doing a Romario and counting. Yeah.
What was his daughter doing on that second goal that went in though? She was nowhere.
He didn't take the
ball on the floor.
Oh, what else we got, Jim?
The guy back at Leicester, which you called quite a while ago, actually.
Nigel Pearson, yeah.
Yeah, you called quite a while ago. They didn't get rid of him. He actually walked, didn't he?
He asked to go and they just sort of let him go after they realised they couldn't do a lot about it.
I don't know. That step, obviously, they're going to be paying him a lot of money and they might have promised some transfer.
He'll get him promoted.
He's done all right so far.
Yeah. He has done all right so far. Cracking goals.
Gary always scores against us.
The second one was apparently
an absolute peach,
wasn't it?
There was two good goals,
wasn't
there? Two non-Rangers. But yeah, is Leicester a much bigger club than Hull?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Money.
Stadium, fan base, your tradition.
Well, then if you're saying money, then QPR are a bigger team than Man United.
Because they're not spending that money.
No, that's not true either.
And their owners are not as rich as ours, even if we're in millions of debt.
Leicester City are a
Eamon Holmes. Eamon Holmes, doesn't it?
Well, he might as well. Christ, he might as well be playing in midfield for us at the moment.
That's what I presumed. But, that's it from me. If anyone else has got anything apart from Dan Silva.
It says here we should ask Stu about to Raptor PSG, but Stu's not here.
No.
I think he's driving him there for 20 million.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Oh, it's ridiculous.
He's been absolutely awful. I said last week, I've seen him play 3 or 4 times this season, and he's not looked like a £2 million player, to be honest.
You don't know if it's just that he's not happy or it really was that he was far too good for the Championship and not good enough for the Premier League, and I can't see that being the case.
You do get these players, though, that look so much better in the Championship than when they make the step up.
Huckabee.
Can't
think of anything anymore at the moment. It's a little bit disappointing.
Clyde Mendonca.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had a bad injury though, didn't he?
Yeah,
he did. If you look
further
down the leagues at players who sort of did that, Trundle was another one. Trundle, absolutely.
Simon Cox.
Until last season, I would have said DJ Campbell, but he had quite a good season.
He had a good season at Blackpool.
He's done all right.
Robbie Earnshaw's not a bad shout.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Go to
Bobby Zamora.
Bobby Zamora. Oh, controversial.
Well, when he was at Brighton, he was.
He's good enough for the Europa League.
Exactly. This is my point.
Yeah. All right, any more before we move on?
There was the quietly scary story in Germany about the referee who tried to commit suicide before the Mainz Hanover game.
Chum was talking about this earlier.
Yeah.
He survived, isn't
he?
Has
he come out of hospital?
I think he's just come out of hospital.
He's in intensive care.
Blimey. He tried to do a Luca Brasi out of, slit his wrist in a bath.
What's
driven into that?
What did he do? Was he at the ground?
No, he was at the hotel still.
But near the ground. What's behind it, do we know?
They don't know just at the moment.
He's all right though.
He's all right physically. He's obviously not mentally.
Fucking mental.
That's nuts.
Talking of mental, Carl Robinson, the manager of MK Dons.
Nice way to leave.
Yeah, let's go from suicide.
Segway.
Let's get away from
that. He did an interview after the game this weekend, and did you see that their 14-year-old midfielder went from MK Dons? Because apparently MK Dons have got a really good academy at the moment.
So we like good luck with that. Yeah. All the rest of it, but they do loads of great work with their community and stuff. Because they're a new club, they've got to really go for it.
Yeah.
They've invested loads of money in youth coaching and stuff.
It's still scum.
The club should really exist where it is.
Right, the guy's name was Aluwesu Ojo. Went to Liverpool on Thursday. 14-year-olds. On Saturday, they gave a kid his debut at 16 and he scored. And a few questions asked, and Robertson just went mental at the end of it. These are some of his quotes. MK Dons boss Carl Robinson has demanded laws be introduced to stop agents who, quotes, sneak around trees and hide behind cars from corrupting the game's next generation.
Yogi Bear.
Yogi Bear is making notes. And the headline on the back of the paper is, let's rid the game of slimy agents. So he obviously said that at some point in the interview as well. Quite interesting. He's not mincing his words. The fact
he's
probably
quite
younger
right as well.
Probably younger than most of these agents as well.
Yeah, he probably is. Right, any more before we move on?
I saw a Ray Wilkins quote that I actually remember. It was a couple of weeks ago, but I only remembered it because after the Gary Neville quote today, I think it's magnificent. It was after I think a team was the team was 2-0 up.
If you can't remember it, if you're going to do your prep, do your prep right. That's all I'm saying. I knew a Carl Robinson quote. I brought the quote with me. I've said the quote. Everyone's happy.
I've got the quote.
Well. You can't remember when
you've
it was.
You've now ruined it. No,
what
I can't.
All right,
I
go on.
I remember when Dan Ferdinand was here and we all just used to get along.
Go on, Dan.
Go on. We'll hear
it out. You've pretty much done what it said. You've taken the steam out of my sails.
Is that what the quote was? Well, we couldn't have set that up any better, could we?
Oh,
that's fair enough.
Rehearsing your ad-libs now.
Right, now let's turn to page 2 of our script. Simon coughed.
I want to know, right, the next bit we were going to talk about last season's pubcast teams. I want to know how Osijek are doing. And the Osijek fans that still listen probably do. Right, and they still want to kill you, I would have thought, for just leaving them, abandoning them.
Well, no, I didn't abandon them. I think you guys just voted them off.
To be fair, Si, I do think burning that Osijek shirt was a bit unnecessary.
Yes, thank you.
We should peed on it to put it out.
We're laughing. This could end up horribly. Yeah. Fans still mental?
Yeah, still mental. Still absolutely mental. Still drink a lot of plum vodka. Still stab you if you look the wrong way. They're mid-table.
Okay, so and exactly what they were doing before.
Yeah, pretty much. Ticking along. They lost at the weekend 2-1, had a man sent off, and they lost to a crap team, Zadar, as well.
Never heard of them.
Yeah, exactly. Just rubbish team. So they started really well. Thought might be European spot, but they're like... they are like Stoke.
Okay.
Middle of the table team, just ticking along.
Yeah.
Should be doing better.
Story about Zadar, it's not really that funny. I met a load of the ultras when I was out in Croatia a few years back, and they kind of grabbed me up and not in a
grab sexual
way. Yeah.
Okay. He's taking a turn.
Size on alert. So he's just put his back straight up.
Hey, which part of Croatia?
It was right near Zadar, a place called Petrčana.
Get on, okay.
Good pronunciation, by the way.
Well, we don't know that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I just made it up. But yeah, so they got me to sing all these anti-Serbian songs, which I had no idea what I was singing. But yeah, so
can you give us a rendition?
No, I can't.
We want it to go live.
Serbian listeners out there, apologies for that.
Coxon, Northwich.
Well, I've got some lovely news. Northwich Vicks are top of the league. They are flying. It's about halfway through the season now in the Evo Stick North before 2 months of postponement.
I love the fact it's called the Evo Stick North.
There's now the Evo Stick South. They're taking over. Which brings me on to a later question, which I'll mention when we get to it. But yeah, they're doing really well. They could drop to second if Heddingsford Town win all their games in hand. Right. They've got like three. But very good performances. Looking strong, very good away form.
There you go. Stuff.
Shall I do mine?
Yeah, go on, Simon.
Peterhead. Now, we left them last season.
How many managers have they got?
I don't know how many managers they've gone through. All I know is we left them and they'd been relegated at the end of the season after my patronage for a season.
Yep.
They're now second from bottom of the bottom division in Scottish Football League.
Really
They've played 12 games, haven't won a game at home yet. They've only won one game away from home. Their record is played 12, scored 11, conceded 21. 0.6. So they've
not, at least they're not getting absolutely.
So they've won one,
ruined.
Drawn three.
Would Peterhead beat Plymouth?
No.
I don't know.
Would that be the worst game of football ever?
They're on 6 points. The bottom team are on four. And they're 7 points behind third from bottom. So they're already in a bit of a state. I don't know who their manager is. The manager they brought in to replace Neil Cooper, I believe, has gone. They're in the brown smelly stuff, basically. I think you have to be elected in and out from the Highland League because you have to have certain criteria. Like you have to have like a tea bar or something to get in.
It's whenever a team goes bust, they just bring someone else in.
Floodlights and a tea bar, and you're in. And a few quid.
Yeah.
I wonder if they've got anyone who travels away now.
Who, Peterhead?
Yeah.
I think there's lots of people who probably travel away after watching Peterhead.
Never to return.
But, I followed them for sound reasons, but it's not gone well for them, to be fair.
Yeah, sound and quite strange reasons, but yeah,
well,
no, it's true.
My name.
Sorry.
Well, yeah. Yes, reasonable.
Hastings United they survived the Ryman Premier League last season. And they're still milling about in that. They're 16th at the moment out of 22 teams. 1-4, drawn 4, lost 8. So don't look like they're going to go down particularly. But then
I know Kenny Pogue's still playing for him, isn't he?
He's got a few goals.
I noticed on their Twitter because I'm still following them. I think.
Yeah.
That he's still about sort of knocking your goal in. So it's probably just as well we're not following any of this stuff because they're not, none of them except for Coxon's dog, are actually doing anything.
Yeah, a bit
year.
Of a mix. No, De Graafschap at 13 points clear.
Are they?
No. I've got no idea where they are. But
say, I know nothing about that trouble. No. The chances of that.
I reckon PSV or Feyenoord or Ajax are near the top of the league, probably.
Yeah. Right, okay. Well, that was the teams we had last season. We'll go on to the team this season in a bit. football adverts on TV. This is something we're doing on the blog, Jim.
Yes, I've already got mine up. You've put yours up.
I did mine as well, yeah. We can all throw our sort of suggestions in. The best football advert.
Well, because we noticed, we were talking the other day and we like the Vauxhall advert, mostly for the song that's
the
on
the music's
there.
Good, yeah. High Flying Birds, yeah.
The only thing I like about it, I found a bit cringy.
What, the advert itself?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
It's quite good,
it's standing in a line, isn't it? I'd go Sainsbury's if I want
to. He's trying to turn into Carl Pilkington. I'm going to go visit the pyramids in a minute.
It's showing unity.
Christ, I wish you'd send me to the pyramids for this show. Yeah,
we're not.
Nah.
But
you wish I'd come back.
My favourite was the Nike Airport ad with Brazil.
Oh, that was
back in 94, I think.
Oh, it was 98.
No, 98.
No,
2002 was
okay. Ronaldo, yeah.
World Cup 98.
2000 was more breaking into a house. 97, they had him on the beach.
Not Ibrahim Bar was in it.
I can remember him.
Yeah, no, it's France.
Park Life.
Ibrahim Bar.
Well, that's mine. That's already up on the. You won't have seen this because I only blogged about it about 3 minutes before we came downstairs.
And of course, the Eric Cantona au revoir.
Hang on, my favourite. Right.
Well, Cantona's in pretty much all. What, look at you. He's gone out for a cigarette. You haven't said anything for 2 minutes. You come straight back and it's your show again.
Yeah. Hey? I'm going home.
Nike, in my experience, have just hit the nail on the head with football adverts. So I
disagree.
Alright, we'll come to you in a minute. I did, one of mine would have been size one, but he's got in there and done it. I did, you remember the right of history when Rooney was going to score, didn't score, ended up
that
in a caravan? Quite like that. My number one was Part Life by far. Life. It's a brilliant advert. It's just on the site now.
It sums up the time.
Exactly, yeah.
The Part Life one was a great ad. Yeah. The big sort of helicopter shots of
Hackney Marshes.
I showed it to Sia and Sean a minute ago, and Steve Stone pulls up his shirt at the end.
Looks like
of it.
Me if I pulled my shirt up.
Honestly.
Right now.
I don't know
not
what his sponsors were thinking.
What I'm
at least he put the ball in there, though. So, Dan, alright, so what you got added?
Dan tried to explain one to me this morning.
I did.
Didn't go very well, did it?
No. Well, I've been doing not a lot of work this afternoon, and pretty much looking up all the old adverts, and it had been some absolute belters, but the one I couldn't find, I'll go on to my favourite in just a sec, but the one I couldn't find, which I want, hopefully some one of you remember, do you remember the one that's smaller spaces, smaller ball? Do you remember when they're like they're doing
the keepy ups?
No, they're doing the keepy ups, and then like and then it goes to a shot where they're like in a toilet cubicle and they're like doing headers with a squash ball doing like keepy ups.
Who's in it?
I can't remember, it's Ronald Dino or so. It's years ago.
What was that accent?
It was
are they in the changing rooms?
Yeah, and they go.
Now this is the link I sent you earlier.
Smaller spaces, smaller ball, and they keep going for a sort of tennis ball, then they're going on a squash ball, and they're doing little smaller spaces, smaller ball, and that was the whole point of keep ups in smaller areas. Yes? Come on, someone, please.
No, it's not the one I sent.
Alright. Well, forgetting that one. It was a great ad. Anyway.
We'll have to take your word for that.
It's basically
it's up
come
there
down
with chicken
to it.
Tonight, isn't it?
It's basically that was in those, wasn't it?
It's football thing.
It's Nike versus Pepsi, really, isn't it? For the football ads. My favourite ones was the Nike one is the good versus evil. When you got the All Stars against the Devil's team.
Oh yeah, who's got the horns?
No, it's the Devil.
So is that the Cantona?
The highlights of that.
Maldini,
Cantona's pretty much in all of them. He's in the boat.
Bit of a lopsided formation in that advert. Now I noticed they've got like Cliver, Ian Wright,
Sean Miller's tactics trap,
Maldini.
But
it works out.
Exactly.
He puts the tackle in.
Brilliant.
But the highlights of that is Cliver getting kung fu kick, Ian Wright getting headbutted, which is even better, and then Cantona with the collar
flick. Give up me at Ian Wright being headbutted. Just leave it there.
Yeah, you're right.
So we've got Nike versus Pepsi.
Yeah, that's
Nike. What about
Nike
for nostalgia
reasons? Hang on.
Oh, Milk. Yeah, go on then.
Atkinson Stanley.
So
who were they?
The Pepsi one.
I was going down the corner.
That was for Milk, which was going to be my one, yeah.
You know when they come out of the changing room, Bobby Robson's the manager.
Oh, you've just ruined that one as well.
Was that Carlin?
Peter Baird, to be honest.
You know what? I'm going home. The other one was Pepsi, which is the Fatties versus the World 11, which is a sumo wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
And it was
Steve Stone versus.
I remember Frank Lampard was in it. I wasn't sure which team he was on.
The highlight is their outrageous goal celebration. When one of them does the aeroplane and then does the Cantona, it's brilliant. All the sumo wrestlers. The other one was Carlsberg. Yeah, Carlsberg don't do pub teams. It's with the late great Bobby Robson. He's the manager, and it's heartwarming. It's about
always
3 minute clip.
Bobby, it
does.
Who is it that they keep driving away from in the minibus?
Peter Beardsley.
Yeah,
it's absolutely brilliant. But then my favourite one that I've found so far, last one, is it involves Chris Kamara, a busty blonde, two very fit women in scantily clad outfits.
I've definitely seen this.
Doing keepy ups.
Smaller spaces,
on an
smaller
advert.
Ball.
Do you know what? I have no idea what the ad is for.
Yeah, I think it was the Sun. Yeah, the advert, the Sun paper, and then Cammy drops the paper, and it's facing the back of the page, and then he drops it, and it's in. And he sat there with a blonde bird with massive tits, going, "Oh, and she offers him a Scotch egg." It's all very odd. But my worst one. There is some bad ones. Do you remember the Dark Ages one with Beckham?
We're not in the current climate.
Oh dear. No, that when Beckham's got his long golden flowing locks and the tyrant has hoarded all of their cans of Pepsi.
I used to hate it when they did that in the Middle Ages.
Oh, no. Yeah. And then they cut Roberto
that
Carlos.
The peasants wrong.
Yeah.
Lord of the Ringfuls.
Freeze all the Pepsis with his free kick and the cans of Pepsi's come raining down.
So that was
down.
Your worst one.
It's so cheesy.
It's a lot worse one. So,
it's basically Beckham in his
I've got one that is better than all of those.
I disagree.
And it's by a guy who's a bigger icon than David Beckham will ever be. and that is
Jesus.
Sir Bobby. Nearly, not quite.
Sir, not quite. Sir Bobby Mims.
Bobby Moore. He used to do, back in the late 60s, adverts for your local pub. Now, I'm going to find this on YouTube because it must be on there. Bobby Moore and Mrs. Bobby Moore advertising their local pub. Go down your local
pub. You told us it was George Best earlier.
No.
No, he didn't.
George Best has done loads of ads, including...
He did sausages.
Sausages, which I mentioned.
Yeah. He must have done some
brute as well.
Yeah.
I thought you told me George Best was doing the local pub. That's why I think
he's a terrible advert. Is it a football ad, sorry?
It's an ad featuring a footballer.
Yeah, it's not an actual football ad.
It's not an ad for the sport of football.
The question was football themed ads.
To be fair. Pepsi ad isn't an ad for football.
It's footballs, isn't it?
Oh, I see what
is
you mean.
Is there a football in your
eyes? Well, they're not winning the World Cup with England. They go down to make a local pub and play some darts. That's basically what the advert is.
Apparently Andy Carroll's going to bring him back.
Yes. Although Andy Carroll, I've got more news on Andy Carroll.
Bobby Moore?
Is he going to do that?
That's the legacy. He's going to alienate the fans.
Necromancer.
He'd be worth $35 million if he can do that, can't he? Jamie Carragher can't do that straight away.
Well, I'll tell you, the best advert which we have mentioned and the only one that has entered English culture is... The milk advert from the 80s. Accrington Stanley. Who are they?
I could recite you the entire advert.
Go on, then. Go on, do it.
All right. We've all got places to go.
Kid goes to the fridge.
Well, do they have a voiceover saying that? Is it?
I'm setting the scene, mate. Otherwise, you don't know what's happening.
All right.
It's very feisty, the scene, these days.
He goes, milk. He goes, yeah. He goes, it's what Ian Rush drinks. He goes,
they're from Ireland?
Yes. He goes, Ian Rush, yeah. And if I don't drink enough milk, I'll only be good enough to play for Accrington Stanley. Accrington Stanley, who are they? Exactly. And then they start fighting. I'll give you some. No.
They did that when they were still PJ and Duncan, though, didn't they? At least I'm guessing from the boy.
And now Bush took a trail.
And then he just got paintball in the face.
I'm blind!
Close advert. You've just done a soccer
advert. Can I just apologise for my accent as well there?
I've not watched soccer advert for years, I couldn't tell you.
No one else has, but no. They still do that.
I will say the worst advert I've ever seen was back in my youth, Ryan Giggs in his pre-adultery days.
Allegedly.
Cornburgers. Let's go back to mine for some delicious cornburgers. But if you've seen the recent advert for wine by Manchester United.
On our very website,
it's on the site.
It's terrible.
Castillo de Blanco, or whatever it's called. It's almost which I think translates
Castillo
as...
Castillo de Diablo, I think it is.
Oh, the devil. Yeah. The devil's coming.
Almost
Diablo,
as bad as the one we did for Turkish Airlines last year.
You're getting shown up today.
Oh, because I don't know the wine in an advert. I don't mind that.
On our podcast website.
That I posted.
Exactly.
Yeah. You just called me feisty.
Well, you've riled me up.
Can I just say, all these adverts, most of them are pretty bad. The worst one is out on... It's on the screens now.
Bet 365 or something with that.
No. Luis Figo, Just for Men.
Oh, brilliant.
Oh, I love it.
Still got it. No, it's dreadful. It's dreadful. Any more to sort of throw in a pot? We'll try and get all these on YouTube.
Oh, there was a very good advert a few years ago with Carlton Palmer in the bath.
Paddy Power.
It was very sensual. Take a Carlton moment. Take a Carlton moment.
I like that.
Right, Ray Docks, if you're listening, get Carlton Palmer as the spokesman.
I reckon their target market of women with kids will know exactly who Carlton Palmer is. I ain't buying that soap, he buggered up Stockport. Move on, Deirdre.
You're done. Right, Dan, we spoke about our teams from last season. Melbourne Heart, what have you got for us?
Nothing.
Here's his completely unscripted review.
They've won again.
Did they really?
They've won again. Back to back wins. No, I was actually.
Where are they in the league?
Hang on.
It was
a midweek game because I was at home on Twitter when it came up.
Because I
retweeted when they went 1-0 up and it was 1-0 at half time.
I'm genuinely happy.
Yeah, because I was what sort of.
And I'm sad.
five.
It's your talk.
So thanks, mate. So, long story short, Melbourne Heart condemned Gold Coast United to a club record third consecutive defeat with a gritty 2-1 win at Skilled Park on Friday night. I like that, by the way, Skilled Park.
Skilled Park.
Yeah, goals nice, from mate. Midfielder Matt Thompson and Argentine anchor Jonathan Romero were enough to lift the Heart into the top five. And 4 points clear of United to remain in bottom place. They're now in fifth. And if results go their way and they get 3 points in the next game, they could go second.
Moira Stewart's the manager of the next team they're playing as well. So,
so go on the Heart. I've got to be on a match report. But
do you know where they are? No, I'll leave that. Do you know where
fifth.
They are in the league?
Fifth.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it. If they win the next
one. It's only a small league, so, you know.
Well, we
two or three
that.
Wins
we
on
said
the trot. They'll fly out the league.
Speaking of knowing
where... I told you their CEO last week about it, because they sent me a message. So
name dropping again.
Did you know Beckham is touring in Melbourne song? They're playing Melbourne Victory in a friendly.
Oh,
yeah. When Hearts start winning the league, they'll get the glamour tie with Robbie Keane.
I'm sure it's Robbie Keane's sort of lifelong dream to play against Melbourne.
Always the same.
So I'm going to make the annoying
when he was little kids.
He's got a tattoo.
Speaking of not knowing where people are exactly, Dan Ferdinand can't be here tonight because he's on a lion taming course with the Bushwhackers and Ian Nolan, formerly of Sheffield Wednesday.
Good. Yeah, I was wondering. Twitter updates to follow.
Burning question time.
Go on the Heart.
Burning question time. Jim.
Yeah.
We got the burning question. You said we had a burning question.
Fellas.
Let's have it.
It's on there if you'd actually read it properly.
No, I've deleted it for some stupid
Carlin, basically Carlin aren't going to be the League Cup sponsors next season.
Shit, I did have that.
Who would you like to see as the League Cup sponsors? Cox and Straight.
Evo Stick. Definitely. They've taken over non-league football. The next step is the League Cup.
Can the budget stretch?
I don't know. If not Disney.
Disney.
The Mickey Mouse Cup.
The Mickey Mouse Cup.
That's very good, actually. Yeah. Sean,
what are you crediting him for? I just said the Mickey Mouse Cup.
He said Disney. You finished it off.
I know.
You just went for the obvious shout out. You're like the man who stands there watching Michael McIntyre on the telly and then repeats, people use toasters.
Move on from me. Give me a few minutes.
Right, Sean hasn't got one. Dan?
Sorry, I don't want. Oh, okay.
I thought yours was Disney, no?
No.
Alright, sorry. Come back to you. Simon.
Dan.
There we go. Right, I've got three.
Go on then.
I saw
Radox. Colin Palmer is the spokesperson.
I just remember my
It's a full marketing campaign. Anyway, you get
it. I've got three. One egg. The old egg credit card egg. The egg cup. I thought I quite like to see a celebrity juice sponsor it, and it's just the Bang Tidy Cup. Or
I don't want celebrity juice.
Or Dunkin' Donuts, and then it would be the Double D Cup.
So you kind of nicked mine because I was going to say Bravissimo for pretty much the same reason.
Well, I didn't nick yours, did I? Because I didn't know.
You've taken the steam out of my sails, Dan.
Well, I thought of a Bravissimo. Why would that be the Bravissimo Cup? Dunkin' Donuts could be the Double D Cup.
I'd like to see the Moon Cup. Do you know what a moon cup is?
What's that?
Look it up on my... You'll enjoy looking up. We'll post a link later.
Or two girls, one.
One man, one.
One man, one.
Carlton Palmer can be the spokesman.
The Football League, one man, one cup. Quite like that. I actually answered it semi-seriously.
Did you?
No.
Oh, silly.
Yeah, no, I did. If a sponsor took it over and decided to just call it the League Cup,
that'd be nice.
Especially if the company were called the League.
Yeah, but someone like Sony that don't need the extra publicity from seeing it there all the time.
Yeah.
Company like Budweiser, whatever they pay for the FA Cup, like, they don't need to do that.
But no, who calls it the FA Cup sponsored by Budweiser?
When it was AXA, I think a lot of people used to call it the AXA FA Cup. I'm talking about on like TalkSport, Radio 5 Live. They did.
Yeah, but they've got to. They're contract
obliged.
No, no,
to
but
do
now
it,
yeah. I don't. No. When they're just talking amongst the like AXA was quite short little sponsors. More people inclined to do it. Budweiser
trips off the tongue.
Yeah,
that's kind of like you're in. For that, with someone to do that, was almost like the end of a romantic comedy. It's sort of like the really nice ending, isn't it? Someone bought it, someone did the right thing and just called it the League Cup just because it was the nice and right thing
to do.
And
just like a romantic comedy, no men would watch it.
And Adam Sandler would be paid. That was some quite good suggestions there. Sorry, have you actually got one?
No, I told you, it's not Redox.
Well, you've obviously only come up with that during the process of the show.
This is a man who has precisely no notes in front of him.
No, I
good Ben Arthur cut? Do you like Ben Arthur, don't you?
I hate Ben Arthur. The Hatton Ben Arthur broke his leg on this day cut. That would be quite
competition.
They'd be very sure, though. I mean, they'd have to play it in smaller places with smaller balls.
Once a year.
Yeah, once a year.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Any more?
I'm done.
Right.
Trevor Stephen.
The Trevor Stephen Cup, yes.
No, love it. Not Trevor Stephen Cup. Did you mean any more? Or Trevor Stephen?
No, go on.
David Beckham obviously won the MLS Cup, we all know that. And they said he's only the second English player to win a league title in three different countries.
Yeah.
Trevor Stephen was the first. I just thought we should take a moment to reflect on the genius of Trevor Stephen.
Good lad.
Whole pub is now looking at us.
Yeah, justifiably so as well, I think. Right, Pitney versus Coxon.
PVC.
PVC, as we like to call it.
Right. The blog's going to go up on a site, so keep it short and sweet, guys.
Do you want to tell us what your topic is, and then give us your your relative arguments. We'll then vote between us we're backing as a pubcast, and we'll put it up on the website. You can give us blogs.
Could be a tie. We've got even numbers there.
Well, I know that's all right.
I'll give a custom vote.
What's the current score anyway? It's only our 4-1.
It's currently 2-0 to
2-1.
2-1. Did you win the last one?
2-1. I won the last one.
It's 2-1 to Pitney, I believe. Yeah.
Okay. So, for people
who don't know, Pitney versus Coxon, they have a debate which they have to debate, and then you can vote on the website.
Yes.
And at the moment, it's 2-1.
Opposite sides of a footballing argument, poll goes up. What's the
issue this week? Decides.
Okay, so we decided to debate what is the best Premiership strike force in the history of the Premiership?
In the history. Okay.
Going back to when football started in 1992.
So I'll let you take the floor first, Mr. Coxon.
Okay. For me, a great strike partnership isn't necessarily two big names or two people who are great players alone. They're players that work together telepathically, who bounce off each other, who need each other, and that's why I would say the greatest partnership, not the best strikers.
Going to be Man United, aren't they?
For once, they are.
Dwight York
and Andy Cole. Okay. Now, all club allegiances aside, these are two players who.
That's an outrageous statement.
No. Club allegiances.
Can anyone debate though? They were
all right.
Fantastic partnership.
Goal in the Camp Nou against Barcelona was outstanding.
The way they played together beforehand, Andy Cole struggled for a few years. Dwight York, he did all right at Aston Villa, but he'd been there for many years doing nothing. But when they got together, they just scored and scored and scored. Yeah, well, he did that at United, like the rest of them.
All right, so you're going to blog on that. Sorry.
Right, okay, fine. I did some looking into this.
Duncan Ferguson.
Yeah, is it an Everton
Paul Ryder?
No, it's not. I did some looking into this, and actually the whole Dwight York thing.
Kev Campbell's there.
In people's memory because they won the European Cup that year, essentially.
With neither of them on the pitch at the time.
Really good point. And I think they were good because they had the most favoured midfield of the generation, mm-hmm. When you look at Andy Collins and Dwight York, they actually only played three full seasons. In their last year, they scored a grand total of 5 league goals between them. They had one good season, very good season, only one. A strike partnership should be about longevity.
Yeah.
Now, I'd like to go and propose Thierry Henry and Dennis Bergkamp. You've got a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
You've got the blinding pace, you've got the creativity. You do have two absolute world-class players who would walk into almost any team. Now, they did it over a period of 8 years, and their goal ratio in the Premier League, haven't included the
Pitney
league
is
stuff,
very good.
It's about the same. It's about one
There's
and two.
There's no notes
so they scored just as many goals over a longer period. They're better players, and for all the ones you want to argue about the European Cup thing, they did both contribute to the only unbeaten season in the Premier League.
Now I will refute that.
If I can at least have my opportunity to refute 4-0.
No, that's not fair, you had a rebuttal. That's alright.
First off, Dwight York and Andy Cole had two very good seasons together, and third season Andy Cole was injured and Dwight York was in the pot.
Second season wasn't that great.
It was. They were the two of the top five goal scorers in England that season.
Four and five.
Doesn't matter if they're 4 and 5, it's still more than.
Alright, okay.
But two seasons is hardly a body of work to justify being
but
the
But
you
best look at the quality together,
Perry.
And what I will take from Dennis Bergkamp and Thierry Henry, one, they very rarely actually played together as a strike force, one was always more withdrawn. They didn't need each
like
other.
Beasley and Lineker.
The idea of a strike force is that they play off each other, they do great stuff. They had Carnu around them, they had Wiltord around them, they also had the best midfielder of their generation in Lundberg, Vieira,
either Petit and Over, but Ava's brilliant. People forget for a couple of seasons.
So
I would say they are two of the best strikers in Premier League history, certainly above Dwight York, Andy Cole in the list. But as a partnership, I think York and Cole worked better together than Bergkamp and Henry ever did.
To be fair, you've argued against that really well, but I'm sorry, it's still an epic fail.
Right, okay, what we'll do, we'll vote round the table. All those in favour of Cox and say aye.
Aye.
All those in favour of Pitney say aye.
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 That's 3-1.
You got swayed then, didn't you?
No, I think you made some very good points.
No, it's a good argument, and it isn't about the individual.
I love you, Jim.
But it's hard for me to
admit
that.
Any other partnerships to throw in the pot? I've got two that spring to mind.
Shearer Ferdinand would be one.
Yeah. Sheringham-Klinsmann.
Sheringham-Klinsmann was the one I was going to say.
Sutton Shearer.
Thomas Brolin and Neil Shipley.
SAS, Sutton and Shearer.
I was going to say Newell and Shearer, I thought was probably a better.
Fastino, Asprea and Shearer.
Yeah. Mark Robbins and Chris Sutton at Norwich. Very good partnership.
Mickey Quinn and Dion Dublin.
Dublin and Huckabee, actually.
Dublin and Huckabee were decent.
Quinn and Phillips.
Not the best.
Quinn and Phillips. Yeah.
Quinn and Phillips was a great one.
That's just like a comedy.
Quinn and Phillips.
Or not.
That's good, though. Good debate, boys.
Any more?
Emil Heskey and Michael Owen. We're a very good partnership at Liverpool.
Yeah, again, on your
and for England.
For many years. Not a bad chat. When you two aren't here next week, we can continue it. Yeah. That can be our burning question. How's that?
We should. We'll do that.
Because there's some legs in that, isn't there?
We'll do
that. Unlike Burke, we can't go beyond
three. There you go. Right, we shall move on. It is Sky Sports News time. I've got two pieces
the
of news.
The first
for you.
Time in which.
That I've actually brought some.
Yeah.
Right, okay, two. First one, you may have read about this today, Mr. Andrew Carroll, Esquire. It was in the People newspaper on Sunday. £35 million striker Andy Carroll is set for a 12-month boot camp stint to ensure that he's at peak fitness and form for the coming seasons. According to the People,
they're writing him off for this season.
It's going to take him a year.
Basically, yeah.
They're to get him fit.
They're apparently going to put him on a diet and an alcohol management program for a year.
His Gazza running it.
And they may even be shaving off his ponytail in an effort to improve his image.
This is going to be on Channel 5, isn't it?
The transformation of Andy Carroll.
Andy Carroll, how I did it. Or something silly like that.
My journey.
Yeah, he's played 16 games in the Premier League since he's made his £35 million switch. And he scored four goals.
Better than Nanda.
He's been dropped by Liverpool, he's been dropped by England, and they've decided to put him in a 12-month boot camp.
Dropped by L'Oreal.
There you go.
This has got all the makings of a rom-com.
People knew he wasn't worth it.
It's all the makings of a rom-com, down on his luck.
But that was just the hors d'oeuvre.
The League Cup at the end, then we're all right.
That was just the hors d'oeuvre. Here's the big story of the weekend. It's been shamelessly ignored by the mass media. East Stirlingshire, who sit bottom of Scottish Division 3. That's not the story. It's their defender, Ryan Francis, who's been banned for 14 games by the Scottish Football Association.
Why?
He got sent off in a Scottish Cup game against Bucky Thistle. He gave away a penalty in stoppage time that earned Bucky a 1-1 draw, and he was accused of placing his hands on the referee, Barry Cook. Another player from East Stirlingshire, David Cain, was also
small space, small balls.
There you go. 19-year-old Francis was charged with excessive misconduct involving the following.
19-year-old, did you say?
19-year-old. Violent conduct, dissent, the use of offensive, insulting and abusive language, and he was also found guilty of the adoption of aggressive behaviour towards a match official.
That's a standard Saturday afternoon.
What was the ref's name?
Barry Cook.
Don't complain about the cook. It's a recipe for disaster.
Can I just add as well that...
You can if he's going to be funnier than that.
No, can I just add, the only reason that's got mentioned is because East Stirlingshire are the only team
above
below Peterhead. Below. The only team above.
He saw he served an automatic two-match ban.
So what's he actually done?
He's kicked off massively, isn't he? That's what he's done. He faces 12 more games on the sidelines for four separate counts of excessive misconduct. His own club have pointed out to him that he could have received a maximum of a full year out of football if they'd all been taken as independent things, but they're putting them all together. He's going to get 14 games.
Have we got a video of what he did?
So that's my side sports.
He sounds like he should be playing in South America because they love that.
He'd fit in a
intrigued.
They do love
it. It says it. He's 19. He's 19. He's showing that kind of potential at 19.
It says it all when you've kicked off too much in Scotland.
Yeah.
Even when the Scottish are like, hang on, that's a bit too much.
It's a bit funny.
But when it's in violent conduct, that could be a two-footed tackle. Or is that,
No, it's all towards the ref. He's tripped someone in the penalty area, given away a penalty, and then he's done a Michael Douglas falling down moment, and just gone mental on the pitch.
Dissent and the use of offensive, insulting or abusive language, that's standard.
When you spat in the child's mouth, that was fine, but when you got the umbrella, that was too far, mate. 14 matches.
Oh, we haven't mentioned that. Spanish game got abandoned because the umbrella got thrown at a linesman.
Really?
Yeah. Not seen that?
No, when was that?
YouTube.
Yeah. I'm on YouTube.
This podcast is brought to you by YouTube.
Yeah. Massive brick.
As most of our stories
going off the pitch with blood going everywhere.
Blooming Rihanna, she always goes too far.
Yeah.
Right, 90s Prem stars, Jim.
Yes. Brian Roy.
Oh, now we're talking.
Brian Roy didn't run over a moose like Thomas Brolin did last week, unfortunately.
And we're in the moose bar as well.
We are.
Good.
85 appearances, 24 goals at Nottingham Forest. When he left football, he took up a modelling career. And he's since managed the Ajax youth teams and the... Right, it's called Jong Ajax. I presume they pronounce it Jong Ajax or Ajax or whatever.
Yeah.
No, it's an Ajax reserve team.
Oh, okay.
When I looked at it, I looked at who else had also managed the Ajax youth team.
Danny Blind,
Aaron Winter, Marco van Basten and Louis van Gaal.
They do look after the players who come through, the senior players. They tend to get them back in.
Yeah, so he's done all right. But yeah, he took up a modelling career.
He had a good partnership with Stan Collymore, didn't he, for a season?
Yeah,
could
he did.
Be in there.
And with Britpop star Paul McGregor, if you remember him from the 96 season.
But he's
scored a few goals in the UEFA Cup.
He was at Plymouth as well, Paul McGregor.
He was in a crap Britpop
club. Obviously, this Premier League strike force, or the best partnership, is always going to be about how old you are and what. So,
yeah,
Premier League, you remember when it starts, don't you, Si? I know you're going to be like...
Who was it? Alongside Dixie Dean, son.
To be fair, when I was growing up, the best partnership with the Funhouse twins.
Oh,
I don't think I'm going to get any votes for them, but
I'll vote for them.
There you go. Step
Pat Well. Pat Sharpwell.
Pam Anderson's chest.
We've all taken a moment there.
Everyone's just like, right. We're about to finish off. Has anyone got anything else to chuck in before we round up?
I don't really want to finish yet.
Typical.
I have. My girlfriend's just texted me. She's gone back to my house because she left some washing there. She's just texted me, "I'm in your room," and I went, "Ha ha, stalker." She's replied, "I sniffed your pillows and your pants and then I left." Which is lovely.
True story.
I'm not screen grabbing. She'll kill me.
Sorry, we've got to say as well, Stuart Hall can't be here because he's nipped round to pick some washing up.
Dobson's got a laugh for the first time in a podcast.
Right, you can email us, banter@footballpodcast.co.uk. Follow us on Twitter @footballpodcast. We've got more Twitter accounts around this table than I don't know what. The Boy Silver, Jim Staples, Simon Pitney, Michael Coxon, Miller Donatan, and Simon Head.
Done very well there, Simon.
Well done.
Such an old man, you've done very
well. I'm doing alright. And the main podcast account is Football Podcast. We're on Facebook as well. Search for The Football Podcast, you'll find us. And the new improved website is www.footballpodcast.co.uk. .co.uk, he says, put his teeth back in. That's us done. Show number 58. Six of us around the table. That weren't too bad, was it?
Quite enjoyed that, boys.
It was all right.
Better than show 54.
Apart from the bullying.